Gonna get in the car with a smile and the burn that I put on my arm the day you went away, girl. And I probably won't come back around again.
Welcome to Local Roots Podcast. I'm Brian.
Yes, you are. I refuse to do a formal intro. I think it's just like... the day we do that, maybe like on our last episode ever, I'll take it seriously. Does that sound okay?
Sure.
He's being pissed. Do you like our new theme song? I just totally, I'm like totally just risking it. I don't care. I just stole it.
I love it.
Okay. You don't sound like you love it.
I haven't listened yet.
Okay. Well, we can discuss this at another moment.
We'll talk about that later.
Obviously, you don't have much to say on it.
We'll talk about it later.
We got much better things to get to.
We do. We have a guest, since people don't listen when it's just you and I, Larry.
So true.
Our guest tonight is the wonderful Nate from the Central District Bike Shop. And he is gracing us with his presence. Nate, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Nate.
Nate, so Phil. Far, so good.
Yeah, owner of Central District Cyclery, board member of Mountain Bike Alliance, and then I've worn a lot of hats throughout life, but a lot of stuff in the mountain bike advocacy world.
That's awesome, and a podcaster of your own right, is that true?
No, that's true. Yeah. And I have the same problem. People don't often want to listen to me ramble on. They want to hear me talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope we found like a hack in the system where we just get on each other's podcast. So that's perfect. Yeah.
When listeners go down, we'll just jump on each other's. Yeah. So, Nate, you are heavy into obviously the mountain bike scene in Grand Rapids. I feel like anybody in biking kind of knows your name within the area. But where did you get your start in biking?
Well, I grew up on an apple farm down by South Haven.
Okay.
And all my friends were farm kids, and we really, even though it was country roads, you kind of rode back and forth between the farms on farm roads to go see your friends. And that's kind of how I got into off-road mountain biking or biking.
Mm.
And then when you're 16, you know, you get a car and you forget that bike. and then I had a roommate in my early 20s. I'm just going to say like 20 or 21, came home with this bike, and it was a mountain bike, and he never rode it, so I took it.
Naturally.
That works.
Yep, and that was a, thumb shifters, I think 7-speed, 3x7, rigid fork, and I almost want to... I can't quite remember what brand it was.
Was it like that classic, like entry level, like stump jumper back in the day kind of looking model?
Exactly. Yep.
Nice. Yeah. Those still, I think, are just like have like such a cool look to them. Yeah. I don't know. There's something nostalgic about them.
For sure.
What's the bike in ET? It's a Kuwahara.
Kuwahara.
Yeah. Sorry. My dad has one and he let me borrow it in college, and I treated it very poorly, but he made this really big deal. He's like, you know, this is the bike they use for ET. Like, this is a real bike. Like, all right, Dad, I'm gonna go to the bar with this thing now. I'll see you later.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was probably crashed and stolen within a week.
Yeah, he still got it, but
it's
a little dinged up, but it's fine. Anyway, sorry, Nate.
Yeah, we tangent city.
Yeah. But anyhow, that's what got me mountain biking again was a roommate. And then you started to meet people. You know, you'd go to trails and you'd start to meet people. And like, oh, man, nobody wore helmets then.
Oh, God.
And I actually smoked cigarettes at that point. So I'd go for a ride and then be the guy that stood in the parking lot and smoked cigarettes.
you smoke cigs like on top of the climbs?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, that, you're putting out quite as much work when they're doing that. That's respectable.
Right.
You're really just training harder. Yeah. Huh.
Exactly.
You know, and then you, I don't know. I quit smoking. I got more serious, and I've just been pretty much biking, you know, for the most part, 3 to 4 times a week.
Nice.
May not be real long stuff, but, you know, I like to ride, and so that's...
What's not very long to you? Because something tells me it's longer than you think.
Well, if I'm just, like, running errands and things, you know, that's a pretty tight radius. But I at least try to go for 5 miles, you know?
Okay. Are you hitting, like, mountain bike trails still, or mostly just, like, around the cities?
I generally, like, I'm a mile or two from the underground. I'm in a mile or two from the bike park. So a lot of times I'm just riding there and doing some quick laps and things and then coming back.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
You know, on weekends it's more mileage, but yeah, that would be my, so I guess I lied. Probably an average ride for me is somewhere between 15 to 18 miles. Cause I'll ride.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Don't undersell yourself.
Right. Like I'm tired. Yeah. I'm tired. And I just got done with 12 on the White Pine. Like that's me as being a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, while we're just talking briefly about, you know, rides, Nate, you said you're close to the underground. I see on Facebook there's like a shop ride.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we...
I guess, is everybody welcome? Because maybe this is a close welcome. Invite thing, okay?
Yeah, everybody's welcome. We're not denominational. And it's a mountain bike ride. And... we use pavement, alleys, bike lane, bike route, whatever, little hidden single tracks, and go out and explore the city. Of course, it's easy to get to the underground, so that's a go-to thing. Tomorrow, we're going to the Richmond Flow, but we're going to hit two other little bootleg places on the way that have, you know, small little downhills or little flowy things to go try out.
That's awesome.
And that's kind of what we do on our rides. As we get more of a core group, it's been a little odd with COVID.
Sure. Yeah, I bet. You know,
but there will be a point where we'll, you know, and we have on a couple of rides thread the whole urban loop together, which is, I don't know, 20, 25 miles, 30, I don't know. But at some point you need lights, you know, but.
Okay.
Once that fall riding hits.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Or you mean like road lights?
Well, dark light, you know, night riding.
Lights on your bike?
Yeah.
Yeah. What time do you guys take off?
We leave the shop at 6:30. And then really don't often have a real great route in mind. Just kind of know like the destination and just kind of freeform it and go from there. And I know I get asked a lot about our ride. And I guess it's not really a fast ride, but we generally don't stop. So I don't want to ever say it's like, it's not exactly no drop, but it's not, we're not going at race pace. We're just kind of riding, but we don't necessarily stop.
Okay.
And I don't know how to explain that to people. Like say, like, I don't know how much effort that is, because for me it's more of a fun thing.
Okay.
But I also know that I kind of have bike shape, and even on like a
yeah,
even if I'm tired, I can generally, you know, kind of pedal through it. But yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Is there
sounds like a good explanation of it too, like
are there any beers anywhere in this ride?
Now, you know, that's just, you have to come on the ride and find out.
Oh, that's a good little tease there. Getting people in the door.
Right.
I, yeah.
Nate, I would love to join you. That sounds awesome. Wow. We did a podcast with the Speed Merchant over at Rockford, and Rockford Bike Shop, and George called me out for never joining his group ride, and I rode with them on a group road ride, and it was my first group road ride ever. And whenever I'm on the road bike, I treat it as like a recovery day from the mountain bike. And that was not what that was. And it scared the shit out of me, and it was fun. But I learned a lot. I'll just put it that way. And,
I don't have that kind of shape. I have more of a round shape.
man.
yeah.
Brian, didn't you on that ride also almost die from lightning?
Oh, dear God. Yeah. So I'm hanging out in the back, and like George is taking care of me, and he's trying to teach me how to draft properly and all this shit. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is insane. And eventually we come up to this, this intersection, and the group stops because half of us were like closer buddies with the guy who had a flat tire further back. And like, anyway, we stopped, and he ended up seeing the clouds and like went back because he was in the bottom of this hill and we couldn't see him. And the rest of the group had taken off like 10 minutes beforehand, so they were clear of the storm. And then the group I was with, there's probably like five of us. And I just have a nothing crazy road bike. The wheels are just aluminum and they're not deep dish or anything like that. But the guys I was with had these like super deep carbon wheels and this like crazy crosswind, hail, lightning, like torrential downpour storm came out of nowhere. And these dudes, you know, 200 plus pound guys are like, they're getting lifted off the ground because that wind is like a kite on those wheels. But yeah,
that's gotta be such a scary sensation. Like when you explain just like your bike lifting off the ground on a road ride, you're just like, oh my goodness.
I don't know how you guys didn't like
E.T.
fall over.
It's literally E.T.
They're all Kuharas. They're getting sucked into the unknown. Yeah. Anyway,
sorry,
yeah.
I just detracted that again. Where were we?
Yeah, we did. So yeah, Nate, do you have a name for your ride?
Yeah,
shop Nate ride. I like it.
Beer's question.
That is good. Nate, I know you're a big Kona guy, and you just sold my fiance's cousin a really badass carbon hey.
Yeah.
What is he let me take it for a spin. It's nice. What is your go-to ride?
Right now I'm riding the Kona Heihei CRDL.
Okay. And is that just like the super version of the carbon one?
Yep.
Okay. The shop owner version.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Shop owner version. and then my other bike, I keep the bike out. I have a Airbnb. I have a house out in Sedona. And I have a Kona Story awesome. There, which is a little bigger travel bike, one not huge, but 140 front. It's since been replaced by the Process 134. But
okay.
But I, you know, for here, I really do like the Heihei, and they really opened the bike up. It has bigger suspension on it. The model I'm riding has a Pike Ultimate, so 35 mil stanchions. I'm a big believer in four piston brakes, big stanchions on my forks, and all the air volume you can get. And, you know, travel's great, but, you know, oftentimes you got to get, in my opinion anyhow, a larger travel bike to get that kind of suspension. But I thought Kona did a nice job with getting that all onto their Heihei. So my bike, reverb dropper, all that is just a tick over 26 pounds right now.
And it's full suspension and only 26?
Yeah. Wow. And I'm not a weight weenie, but I mean, that was kind of like eye opening.
That's pretty impressive though.
I sold one to another customer that had a Yeti SB100. So, bought this Heihei frame, and I was able to, like, you know, basically move all the parts over from Yeti to Kona, and I was able to weigh things.
Okay.
And that Yeti SB100 frame is about 7 pounds, and the Kona is about 5 pounds.
Really?
And so when we finished weighing the bikes, like, so the SB100 started out life it doesn't have a dropper post, so it was just a little under 27 pounds. And when we finished with the other hey, it is a tad under 25. So that 2 pounds. Yeah, and it's not even with carbon wheels or anything. So, I mean, there's room to improve, I guess, if you really want to.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, not to go separate again, how much heavier is a dropper C-post versus, like, just even on aluminum or not to mention carbon?
Your dropper post probably adds about, at the most, a pound and a half, but probably close to a pound.
Okay.
Now, there's some boat anchors out there, but, you know, if you get a good dropper, they're in that 1 pound and a couple ounces.
Sure. Okay. Larry, just more curious. Yeah, I know.
Ditching your dropper?
I just don't use it.
You're not using it right.
Nate's one of the biggest advocates for droppers I've ever heard in my life. Yeah.
I mean, I think if I like taught myself how to use it more, I'd enjoy it. But right now it's just like extra like stuff on my bike. I don't know. I've found like some good uses for it, like at the trails.
When you're sitting on the bike.
Yeah, exactly.
So my very biased opinion is that.
Yeah. School me.
It took me a couple of weeks to really kind of get like the muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
But drop for everything. Going into a turn, drop. Going downhill, you know, drop. And get used to just doing those kind of exercises. And even if you don't think you need it, do it. Because then you'll start to figure out how you can get faster. Mm. And you will do it. And just by getting that saddle down and away, you can go so hot into a turn, late break, and pop out the other side, and you know you just hit the dropper and you keep going, and you don't have to be doing downhill for that. I mean, that works any place you can go fast.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Like the only time I think I remember to do it is at like Merrill when you get to the top and you usually like stop at the picnic table. I'm like, oh, I know this next part's downhill. I'm going to actually use my dropper post.
Yeah. And
it's worth it. It's fun because like I have 3-inch tires on my bike. So the more nimbleness I can squeeze out of that bad boy, the better. Yeah. And I think you're right. I just need to tinker with it a little bit more. And so maybe that'll win me over.
Just drop whatever you for every occasion.
sure. And that to like learn what actually works, right?
Yep. And perfect. You know, the other thing, it's not like you often have to do that around here, but like out west, if you're riding ridgelines and things, that you can just drop like an inch just to bring your center of gravity down, which can help you if you're like doing those short burst little climbs and you're like going over an A-frame where you're almost like immediately going to point right back down.
Yeah.
You know, you can just like drop just an inch, just stay seated and climb, and then just transition the bike underneath you to get through stuff. So, I mean, you maybe not wouldn't typically use that trick here, but it's a good one to know.
Sure. Yeah. This sounds like a whole new skill to learn, and I like a new challenge. So that's cool.
And I honestly do think you can maybe it's just a subjective feeling, but I feel like you can be light tires, light frame, whatever, but you'll pick up speed because of the dropper.
Okay. All right. I love that. I learned so much already.
There you go. The thing that comes to mind where I would want, I haven't wanted a dropper, but it would probably help. But what I'm thinking is at section 3 of State Game Area, like right before like the little bridge part where there's like a down like stump you have to like go over. Every time I like smoke my nads and I'm like, God, if my seat wasn't there, I would not be in all this pain.
See?
All right.
That's what it's there for. It's to make you go faster.
And cover your nads. Well, yeah, protect your nads.
Protect them one more day. every day with a protected
yeah.
Remember when we kept saying taint every episode? I almost fell back into that rhythm. I should stop.
I'm glad we didn't, but I would. It's very fun to go back into.
Okay, let's not get off again. Yeah, where were we, boys?
Nate, do you guys, are you still a Yeti dealer?
I'm not.
No?
Ibis and Kona.
Okay.
Chance.
Got it.
I gotta say, Kona is winning me over day in and day out. They've got, like, even just like aesthetically, like color wise, like at that tertiary level, it's like, man, every time I see one go by, I'm like, all right, I like what they're doing here.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with, maybe it's just websites, but when you like, often you're like, you see a Kona bike on a website and you're like, I don't like that color. And then it shows up and you're like, I like that color. It looks better in person.
That's fucking cool. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know if they need to put like a gloss filter or something. I don't know. But you're like, man, this looks so much better in person. And a lot of it is they're using like, I'd call it like bass boat kind of finish where it flip flops colors, you know, or it has sparkles in it.
Okay. Yeah.
So like silver, I wouldn't normally be a silver bike guy, but like that silver Hey Hey just sparkles because if you really look at it, there's like little flecks of
that's sweet,
you know, and it just makes that frame sparkle. And you're like, God, the photos don't catch that.
Sure. Yeah, right on. Yeah, the reason, Nate, I wanted to ask if you were still a Yeti dealer was because I saw last night Yeti released a super.
Oh, yeah.
The limited edition Arc hardtail.
Yep.
And it's freaking badass.
Have they had hardtails before?
They did like a long, I don't know how long ago, but they haven't had one for a while. But well, this comes with like special edition colored like hubs and just a bunch of other stuff. The chainring up front's turquoise.
Oh, I did see this online. Yeah. That thing's pretty sick.
I want to say it's $9,000 though for a hardtail. It's $10,000 for a hardtail, which is a little insane, but
it's a lot insane. Let's be honest.
That's fucking nuts.
Does it have that wireless derailleur though? That's $2,000 of it right there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to justify this $10,000. Like,
I think it is the coolest looking bike I've probably ever seen. Like
those are your colors too. You're a baby blue yellow boy.
Absolutely, that just screams Harbaugh baby. But
oh my god.
Anyways, it's cool. And if I ever had a cool 10K, just to you know, blow on nothing, that would be it.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So Nate, tell us a little bit. Yeah, heading back over to, I guess, on track of something, not talking about crazy Yetis. Tell us a little bit about Sedona. I've never ridden my bike out there, and I would freaking love to, and I'm sure a lot of other people would too.
Well, I do have an Airbnb. And when you say Sedona, it's actually three small towns that are collectively known as Sedona.
Okay.
So I live, or my house is in West Sedona.
Okay.
Not far from Over the Edge Bike Shop. And Sedona's like this weird place where, because I'm a homeowner, I'm kind of considered, I think, in this demographic of like, there's 15,000 residents, and then like, God knows how many, tourists. So it has really interesting things like a Whole Foods, you know, that kind of deal. But when my family started going out there when I was a kid, and Sedona used to be a lot of like the woo-woo people. Like, you know, I clearly remember people walking around in aluminum foil hats.
woo-woo let's party people, you mean like woo-woo this guy's friggin' like nuts
flying off the planet Gary Busey style woo-woo. Yeah.
You could okay. go with your aura red and you know your crystals shined or whatever it is you do.
Sounds very dirty.
And because the mountain biking, most of it was underground because the National Forest had a moratorium on trail building. And Sedona is ringed by national forests, so And where you ride there is National Forest. And so for the longest time, like, you were screwed if you went there and you didn't know where you were going. There was some, and some of the trails that are really well known were open then, like Broken Arrow, Llama, some of that stuff has been there for a really long time. And that really was all that was there. So when you went out to West Sedona, there was really like no legal trail, but there was tons of trail. You just had to know where to go.
Okay.
So now that ban has come off, the National Forest actually has trail crews on pay and service. And they're building trails and everything is well signed. And it's, you know, they, trails there aren't directional. You can just jump on a trail and go whatever direction you want. And obviously there's downhills may dictate a better way.
Yeah, I would imagine.
No. but from my house, I can leave and I can, there's pretty commonly I'll do like about a 15-mile ride. And it's slick rock, like old lava flow heave, like dirt. There's trees there. There's also cactus. And it's pretty common to see coyotes on a ride. Javelina once in a while. I don't know, a year or two ago, they had to put a bear down in the Whole Foods park. I mean, like, you're pretty accessible.
Jeez, to good lord.
Yeah.
Never a dull moment.
And of course, you know, there's the thing with Arizona that they usually say is like if it doesn't have thorns or fangs, you know, it's got some other way to bite you.
that's funny.
But I've rarely seen snakes, but you see lizards all the time.
I can handle lizards. Can't handle snakes.
Can lizards kill you?
There is a, I've not seen them, but there are Gila monsters out there that.
Monsters?
Yeah.
Literal monster. too scary.
I know I'd learned something on this last trip that, you know, and I also knew that rattlesnakes don't always like hit you with venom, but what really a lot of times is you're fighting off infection because they're rolling around in cow plop. Grazing and stuff going on, and so like it's not necessarily you could die from the infection from the being injected with cattle feces, you know.
Wow.
Well, snakes just got worse.
Snakes just got twice as scary and grosser.
Snakes are now just little shit monsters that are gonna infect you with E. coli.
Right.
Yeah, so it and it's about 4,200 feet, so you don't, you can feel the elevation, but like I usually have a day where I need to get a little bit of climbing, you know, just used to it. And, yeah. But it's not like you're gasping for air. And the trails now are built by mountain bikers, kind of for mountain bikers. There's still plenty of people hiking. That's a big in trail running. But generally people get out of your way when you're on a bike, like you're the priority traffic. Which I love.
How it should be.
Yeah. The perfect world.
Often you get like hikers pull over and they watch you ride because they're just like, oh, I want to see this guy crack on the rocks. You know? sure. But it's Walt Disney World for mountain bikers. So
sounds so cool.
It's a lot of it's similar riding to what's here. In that there's not big elevation. So there are some downhills you can go do that would might take you 15, 20 minutes, but there's none of that like ride up some godforsaken fire road and then descend for 2 hours.
Okay, that's good.
You're just always kind of it's more of a cross country, but it's pretty technical. Now there's been easier trails been made in the last year or two, so like pretty much now. Anybody could go there and find some fun trails to ride. It used to be a little more of a hard edge.
The rules.
And then they are the kings. Like they know like they're going to get 3.5 million trail users a year.
Incredible.
And you can go there and ride. I mean, like, okay, it rains in the desert, you know, They get mud. They get all that same stuff that we do. And people, you know, they have trail police as well, as they stay off the trails. But you got people that just paid good money to be on a vacation, and they go ride.
Okay.
And they have kind of like a bit of a hippie attitude, a bit about it. Like, you know, hey, the trails kind of heal themselves. And where it gets really bad, we reroute, or they have the most awesome rock work in the world.
That sounds so cool.
And I've ridden a lot of places. The rock work in Sedona is the best.
Cool. Hey, I have a question. You know, I watch a lot of like mountain bike videos online, and mm-hmm. you know, one of the most famous trails in Sedona that I've seen is like the White Line. Have you ever done that?
It's not as bad as you think it is, because
really,
but it's pretty bad.
so it looks so terrifying. That's what it is.
So you got to be comfortable with rolling some downs. So actually, like when you ride out on the White Line, that shelf, it's spooky, because if you went off that shelf, it's not going to be fun. but it's not sheer. Like if you, the thing on like Slick Rock and a lot of places in Sedona, and I would imagine it's the same elsewhere, is if you do take a tumble, you kind of like spread, you know, put your arms out, your legs out to kind of stop yourself a little bit.
Oh God, it's terrifying.
You know, without hopefully breaking your arm or something. But
best case scenario.
When you ride out on the White Line, there's a little V dip in it that's like spooky as all heck. But that when you ride out there, it's a couple of feet wide. It's not super narrow. But what it is then that next turn is like a sheer drop. And if you miss it, that's not good.
Yikes. And then basically it sounds like unless you're doing the perfect line there, it's not good.
You're going to die.
you got to have a dropper,
okay.
And you just, it takes a while to get used to it, but, riding down Slick Rock, it's just like equal parts heart stopping and for being exhilarating and also for scary. But you're rolling down some of the stuff and then you got to hit the brakes hard and, you know, to get stopped or get turned. And I don't know how it's a bit, I think your roll on the White Line might be a good 50, 60 feet. Cause you're rolling from one shelf down to another shelf.
Oh, wow.
If that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, I think I kind of remember, but only from like GoPro video. Yeah. I've obviously never been there.
But then that exit is straight, kind of another, you know, drop down. So as long as you kind of keep the wheels rolling and you don't do anything too funny with your brakes, you can roll right down that stuff. But man, it's not where I would go to learn how to do it.
You know? Sure.
Gosh, there's better places in Sedona to learn that. That technique. But yeah, I've done it. And it's not actually that close to my place. So it's one of those places I'll go once in a while. But I like a couple of other trails that I think have equal amount of exposure, better. Because one of the things like with the White Line is like you're just out on this big slick rock slabby kind of thing. And it's cool. But I kind of like that whole single track out through the, you know, it's not, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but there's a couple other rides that I have there that are my favorites. There's a new one called Transept that goes around a rock formation called the Coxcomb. Okay. And sure. It looks
Brian
like,
couldn't help but giggle, of yeah, course.
Sorry. But anyhow.
I'm 12.
Your end move on that is down a rock chute that's about 20 feet. And I would say, I don't know how to figure your angle, but it would basically be a waterfall if there was water coming down it.
Damn.
And then you hit it. And that's why I became a fan of bigger suspension, was kind of more riding out there, realizing I'm just wrecked. I can't ride like a Fox 34 would be the least amount of fork I can ride. I
just there or in general?
In general, I can feel a 32 flex. It just, I'm not into it.
Interesting.
So I always 34, 35, or 36 stanchions are my favorites, and I love it when shocks have the extra air volume or the extra air canister, because everything just rides better.
All right. I mean, that's good to know.
So it sounds like.
Brian, what do you gotta love these Zoom podcasts?
No.
gonna ask what fork do you have? It's not that interesting.
It's not. I have a Fox 32 Rhythm.
I gotcha. So, okay. Carry on.
Yeah, anyways, yeah. I was gonna say, so it sounds like if we are, you know, if you're going out to my laundry's done, sorry. If you're going out to Sedona, you probably shouldn't bring your Featherweight XC race machine.
Not if you want to have a good time.
Okay. Noted. I mean,
nobody had full suspension. You know, I've ridden out there rigid single speed. That's not that I would want to do it again. How the trails used to be like 15 years ago or 20 years ago, they've changed now and they're much more berms and feature, you know, just like what we're seeing kind of here in West Michigan. And I think to really like uncork it on some of that stuff, like sure, you could do it on a hardtail, but having a bike that weighs about 28 pounds so you're not bouncing around in the wind and stuff is a good thing.
Okay. It's probably, yeah.
You know, like a heavier bike will track better over the loose rocks and through the rock gardens and that kind of stuff. Where that light bike just kind of gets bounced around. I don't love that feeling. And you could make some of that up for like, I guess a high rate of speed, but I have Nate rate of speed and that's the speed I'm going to ride at.
All right.
I just feel like, yeah, a little heavier bike, bigger stanchions is not a bad thing.
Awesome. Nate, I know you're a little limited on time here, but before you head out, I'm curious, is there anything in the Grand Rapids bike scene as far as maybe, you know, new trails or trail additions, things that are going on that you're excited about that maybe you can share with Brian and I?
Yeah. Good question. You know, of course, like the Dragon's getting a ton of press right now, and I think that's going to be exciting.
I see that a lot.
It looks rad.
Yeah.
But locally here, at least at the WNBA, we have been affected by COVID. Our major fundraising mechanisms have been, you know, rescheduled at this point, like the Yankee Time Trial and some of the other things that we would normally use to pay for trail building.
Yeah.
And so money's tight, but what I'm excited about here, one of the things I'm excited about is like it used to take a long time to get a trail going, and now it's just a few years. Like Merrill took 12 years of meeting with people to make
12 it. Years
really.
Yeah. And Luton was about the same. It might even been a little bit longer.
Holy cow.
And we were, at that point, you know, kind of establishing credibility with different land managers. And now we, as an organization, have the trust. And we have a reputation. And we can get... So now when we go to like open up a new trail, we're either working with a land manager that we're already familiar with, or if we're going someplace that's a new one, we have references. And that just makes things a ton easier. So one of those projects that I think is going to go probably next year now, just because of COVID, is the last big open green space in Grand Rapids parks that hasn't been developed much, and that's Ball Perkins Park.
I'm very excited.
Which is, for if you don't know, it's kind of in between Ball Perkins, Knapp, and Leonard.
Okay.
And
a good in between to break up the disparity of trails, kind of on like the, the northern. Yeah.
So, I mean, we really had hoped to kind of break ground with that this year. It's going to obviously kind of go into next year. But what we are envisioning there is more of a Maple Hill Trail kind of thing, except this is a little bigger area.
It's going to be exciting.
And it needs to also integrate with some other park things. So this may be one of the, like, there'll be three picnic table locations alongside the trail with viewpoints and vantages. At least
that's awesome.
Being seen now. A couple years ago, the City of Grand Rapids Parks director went down to Bentonville, Arkansas. So he's toured that. He's seen that. He came back pretty charged up and go, like, we can do that in GR Parks. So there's kind of a loose plan to like the urban loop I do for a shop ride may someday be an official route.
Cool.
Where you would connect all these different mountain bike facilities that are in City of Grand Rapids Parks. And to me, that's impactful because that reaches more people. Lots of people will go visit the Dragon. It'll be a great destination. But the kind of stuff that we need the most, in my opinion, are the things that you can go do after work. And you got a 2-hour window.
Sure.
And,
absolutely.
You know, now there's a way to do stuff. Or if you want to do a little bigger ride, now, you know, there's single track plus, you know, going in between. And now you've got something like maybe 50, 60 miles on your hands. conveniently located to refreshments. But
yeah,
of course, yes,
that's and, the drill. And food options as well. But you know, to me, that's the ballpark.
And bike shops,
yes. And I think like Ball Perkins will be kind of like the crown jewel, if you will, in the Grand Rapids Parks mountain bike system.
Sounds bike, so cool. How many?
Yeah, I was gonna say, and the bike park will get, is gonna just be phases. And continue to be phases. We just got the green flag from the city to be able to start doing trail days.
Okay.
So COVID changed a lot of things, and I know people are getting itchy to get out and to do trail days, but we couldn't. We weren't supposed to. Yeah. And I know it was going on, but we weren't supposed to. And, you know, so now we can, and we're starting to pull some of that together, but there's restrictions, you know, like you have to clean things, you have to wear a mask, you know, like there's all these things that are new, and I never thought I'd be writing a COVID policy, you know, like
right.
Yeah, that's
that kind of stuff.
Nobody did.
And when all that stuff, you know, and when we finally get there, that's why I think things are going to be delayed for, you know, this is going to be the year of, well, not much got done or we're figuring it out. So more will happen next year, and I think Ball Perkins will be a great project.
Yeah, I'm Larry, I think you were asking how many miles is that trail going to be? Any ideas?
Well, somewhere around the 5 mile ish, could be a little more.
Okay. So Merrill ish.
Except the cool thing about Ball Perkins ish. Is the ridge lines bigger and steeper and longer.
That's awesome.
So it won't be as like coily as Merrill. That's probably my one guff with it. Yeah.
Yeah. This will be a fast trail.
Cool.
Big that's, line of start.
And plans to expand the 5 miles over time, or that's just like the initial blow, or is that the full kit and caboodle?
I think
kit and caboodle.
I know, right? I've never said that in my life.
I love it.
Well, we are talking and have working through how to get it done. There's a church that owns property adjoining Ball Perkins, Berkeley Hills Church, and they are interested in having a mountain bike trail on their property.
Interesting.
And that would probably be a mile or two and then connect to Ball Perkins.
Okay.
Via a bridge, because there's a little bit of water and wetlands there, and you jump over a power line and then you're into Ball Perkins. So that's why I'm going to just kind of say 5 miles, but
it seems like a safe answer.
It'll end up being more, but I mean, I think that's about pretty safe.
Okay.
Cool.
That's awesome. And, Alexa's cousin, Josh McCready is going to help out with that trail. So that's super exciting. So I have a little more ties to it.
Yeah. And this is
Brian's going to get the inside scoop.
Yeah. Josh does some crazy awesome work in Holly. We'd love to have him in the Holly area, I guess, like more Lapeer. We'd love to have him on as a guest sometime. Just segue into that. Anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Josh is like me, like we're old, but you know, we came through the old MMBA and, kind of remember how that was. And like, you know, now, like, who would have thought that trail building would be a profession?
yeah, it's crazy. Josh was a teacher for a lot of years, and now he isn't a teacher anymore, and he just builds trail. That is his job, and it's pretty badass.
Yeah, and he does it the right way. He uses a Mini X. So, and we could dive down that rabbit hole on a different podcast.
But, okay.
When I vetted Josh for Ball Perkins, and that was one of the big standout things was he's not using a skid steer.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know what both of those things are for sure.
Me too.
No, that does sound interesting. We should learn about that sometime.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I appreciate you answering that. Nate, I know you probably have to bounce here. Do you have anything? What's your call to action before we let you go? You know, do you want them to follow your Instagram? You got a podcast
that
they can look up? Where should we send people?
How do people find your podcast?
Good question.
Let me get back to you.
It's on Instagram and Facebook when it gets released, I think. And so it basically follow our social media and then you'll stumble across our podcast.
You know what? We can link it in this podcast description too.
We'll
find your Instagram and just link that there. And that seems like the easiest way.
Perfect. Yeah. I appreciate that, guys.
Should people follow you or are they following, the CDC?
CDC.
Sounds like both. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll
put both in there.
Yeah, you can put both in there.
Okay.
I mean, I can't promise we'll get a lot of people there.
Oh, but yeah. We're not even crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well, once you know, people know I'm on there for
game over. Yeah.
Gonna bring them all in.
But that's how to get a hold of, you know, through the shop and stuff. My one parting thing is that there are, well, I don't know, a good million people in the greater Grand Rapids area, maybe 1.5 if you get all the way out and into the burbs and, you know, up to as far as Rockford and Cedar and Caledonia and stuff. And the WNBA really could use membership. And we have less than 1% of the population as a membership base. And we have members in hundreds when you can clearly see there's thousands of people mountain biking.
Oh, yeah.
So if there was ever really a drum to beat, join the WMMBA because the numbers matter. They matter to land managers. They matter for political suasion when you need to get somebody's attention and say, like, oh, yeah, we'll just bombard your Facebook with whatever. But numbers matter. It's not so much even like you're not really going to build a lot of trails with membership money. You build some, but numbers matter, and they matter because of politics.
Sure.
And you get
such a great note.
Yeah. And you sometimes get free beer at the meetings.
Yes.
Throwing that out there. That was nice.
Every once in a while.
Nice. Well, I think we could make a post about that as well.
Oh, we have to. That's such an important thing, especially for, I mean, it's the lifeblood of, I mean, Brian and I, there's, you know, not a week that goes by where we're not a couple days at our Western Michigan trails here. So yeah. The very least we could do is help get the word out, and I'd love to help with that.
That would be awesome, guys.
Yeah, totally.
You have any other last questions for me?
No, I'll just thank you so much for coming on, and I didn't expect to learn so much today.
Ah, man, that's okay. I'm old. I really appreciate being asked.
He has unlimited. Nate has unlimited wisdom.
No, just ask my employees.
Nate, thank you so much for stopping in, and I encourage anyone who hasn't been to Central District Cycler to go check them out. You guys do unreal work. You're awesome people.
Thanks.
It's never not a fun and eventful time stopping in there.
Well, you know, I came from a corporate spot, and I just don't ever want to be like that again.
All right. I think it's working for you. So
thanks.
Good vibes.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Talk to you later.
See you, bud.
All right. Later.
All right. That was Nate, everybody.
Nate Phelps.
We're not quite to our usual time here, Brian. I know I have a couple updates. Maybe we can talk for just like a tiny little bit more, and then let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm going to close out just with Nate. My personal connection to him was I stopped in for – it was when Rockford Bike Shop – well, Speed Merchants was transitioning to Rockford Bike Shop. And
you had no home.
I had no home, and I had some catastrophic road bike failure, which was on the trainer at the time, and that couldn't happen. And I needed some help, and I asked him. They had like a Facebook chat. I was like, hey, you know, I can take the bike in, and he's like, yeah, it might take me a little bit to get it done, but like I'll get it done. And I was like, okay, well, what time frame are you looking? And he's like, I don't know, maybe like 3 o'clock, like tomorrow. I can't get it done like today. And I was like, what? Like, damn. All right. I was thinking like a couple weeks. So I dropped the bike off to him, and then we started talking just a little bit here and there. I was asking him about his place in Sedona.
Can we rent that, by the way?
We totally could. And I think it'd be super fun to get the squad out there. I think it'd be fun to go out there.
It's my bucket list.
Yeah. I've talked to him about it before, and he's like, I'd love to go out there like with your buddies. We could all like hang out. And I was like, fuck yeah. Sounds awesome. But he was like, hey, you want a beer? And I was like, do I want a beer? I was like, well, fuck yeah, let's have a beer. And we just had a beer in his shop and started shooting the shit. And we ended up talking about trail, and he had this idea that he wanted it to build trail at Bell Perkins. And he's like, well, do you know anybody that builds trail? I was like, good joke. You know, like, yeah, well, I mean, kind of, I mean, if you need a guy. And he's like, okay, well, who's this guy? And I was like, all right, I'll text him. I'll text you his contact info later. And I ended up giving him Josh McCready's contact info, who now got the bid to help out at the Bell Perkins trail. I don't know if he's going to do the whole thing, if he's in charge of it. I don't exactly know. But I kindred a relationship, and I'm hoping Josh is going to help shape the Grand Rapids mountain bike scene a little bit. So that's exciting. So that's my personal connection to Nate, who's
Brian's about to take any cool part of this trail. You'd be like, yeah, well, it wouldn't have been really this cool if it wasn't for me. So direct your thanks to BrianDavis@gmail.com. And
I'm more trying to say how cool Nate was as just a bike shop owner, to just be like,
no, I know. I'm just
some rando dude pops in. Oh, you want to have a beer? I'd be like, well, no one does that. That's great. Well, George does that too. That's why they're the coolest. That's why they're the best bike shop guys there are. George and Nate, you are the best. Everybody else, cool, you should take notes. Larry, back to your updates.
Oh, I don't have a ton other than, okay, so this might be the nerdiest thing I've ever spent my money on.
Another scooter?
No, not that stupid electric scooter that's like basically already broken. I got a virtual reality headset.
I saw Amber was Star Warsing it up. It looked badass.
Right. So it's not like the stupid one that you've probably tried that like a friend of a friend has, like where you just like put your phone in a thing. It's like a legit one with like two controllers and stuff. And like you go into a literal new world. It is insane how good it is. Like,
what does it run off of?
So it has like the internals of like a pretty good Android phone in the headset. So it's like if you know, like, chips. It's got a Snapdragon 830, it's called, which is the processor.
What, Oculus?
Yeah, it's an Oculus.
I've used one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was like an older version one, but I played like a Harry Potter game or some other thing. Oh. And another thing where I had like a sword and I was beating somebody up. It was sweet. But I imagine it'd be even cooler. And that looks dope.
Yeah. So it's the only difference
we are getting having beverages and then playing Star Wars.
Well, that's the reason I'm bringing it up. So <Okay. laughs> I, first of all, it's absolutely amazing. I love it. It's so cool. It's endless fun. Way cooler than an Xbox. If you're going to buy an Xbox or something, get this instead. Oh, I should say, it's all built into it, so you don't need to like hook it up to a computer like all the other old ones were. This one is like completely wireless. You can take it anywhere. So anyways, I've only played the games where like you stand still, but today I played a game where like you actually walk around. It's like playing real life Mario, but you're Mario. It was like a game like that. And I played for maybe like 7 minutes and I got sick to my damn stomach. Like it's so real and immersive, and you use a joystick to walk around, but what? Your body feels like you're really walking. And then it just like it threw me off so much that I felt like the worst car sick I've ever felt in my life, like motion sickness. So I won't play that game, at least not for a while. It's so
you got
to
bring that puppy up this weekend.
You know what? Maybe I will. That might actually be fun.
We'll wipe her down.
That's my only concern.
It does go directly on your face, so maybe not. Maybe we won't do that.
Your hands in the face.
Leave it.
I'll bring it and maybe see if we have Clorox wipes, and that'll decide if we play with it.
We'll just put masks over. Mask over our eyes.
Anyways, that's the most exciting update I have, I think. Oh, I felt my baby kick for the first time.
Holy shit, really? When?
Last Sunday. And my wife actually just texted me to run upstairs to go. She said it's active again. So right after this is done, I got to go feel my damn son or daughter. I keep saying son.
I was going to say, what was the strength of that kick? Did it feel like did it feel like a boy or a girl?
Strong, powerful woman, or
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I said if it was stronger, I was thinking woman, but
that's good save.
oh, yeah,
but yeah, those are the two exciting things. Any updates in Brian's Neck of Woods?
Haven't sunk a
pontoon or anything,
have not sunk a pontoon. She's tuned up. That Johnson American 28 horses are ripping around the lake, so hell yeah. Other than that, Alex and I went camping this past weekend. Higgins Lake
back
took
to the roots, some nature.
Higgins Lake took like 10 years off my life again. It was fun. It was great. It like torrential downpoured Sunday at like 4 a.m. So right before we had to leave, everything was soaked.
Oh, but, no. Like you're packing up your tent.
It was gross.
Tent? No, that is the. Oh my goodness, excuse me.
It was bad.
Seltzer's coming back up.
But, it was bad. Oh, I do have something.
Yeah, hit me with
earlier
it.
That day, Alexa's bros and her cousins and I went to Hanson Hills to ride, which was really fun. We were feeling extra hungover from drinking for 3 days straight, and then we decided to save the bike ride for the end, which, you know, cool.
Of course.
And that's a really fun trail. If anyone's ever, you know, not been out there, I encourage you to check it out. It's very, very natural. It's fun. And the last downhill part is very, very steep and sandy. So just careful. Alex's brother, Mitchell, took quite a hefty tumble. And it was, I didn't see it, but from looking at him when he got back, it looked like it was quite a fun one. So, after that, we went to the bike shop, Northbound Outfitters. Is that what it's called?
Sure.
And I met Jordan Wakely. So that was pretty cool.
All right. You sound like you had a fun weekend.
Yeah. And that was it. And then, I get to hang out with you this weekend, Larry. That's exciting.
Yeah. We'll have another distance outside lake weekend. Can't
wait
for
those seem to be the best.
We can do now. It's like the only way that we can hang out with friends is like at someone's cabin where we can be outside the whole time. Like,
yeah, and you know what? I don't hate it, but
yeah, right. Not a big complaint from this guy.
If COVID comes back when it starts getting cold out, then it's going to be shitty.
Yeah, we're back into
Go back to Zoom shotguns.
Yeah, we did a lot of Zoom calls that for that first bit.
I got way drunker staring at a computer than I thought I ever would. It was fun. So
it kind of was in like a weird way. Just like it was a good way to like take your mind off the reality of it. I think like we found all these like tools, like even how we're still podcasting remotely. It's like we have all these tools now that like we would have never really known about. And, you know, there's a lot of good that came from it. And I mean, I'm not justifying how shitty everything is by any means, but like that's just like the optimist in me. I think like there was a couple cool things like that we learned as like a way to adapt, I guess.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And I think it kind of helped solidify a lot of friendships too, which was nice. Yeah. It was like our squad, you know, we really can't live without each other. So we're just going to sit in the Zoom now and, you know, hang out like we normally would. We'll find a way
to still drink beers together.
We will find a way.
That rules. Before we head out here, I know my last parting words. I want to echo what Nate was saying. I'm going to put my neck on the line here. I am not a member of Western Michigan Mountain Bike Association.
Larry, you're shunned. I joined
Northern when I lived there in TC, but since I moved back here, I haven't. So follow me. I'm going to go hop on between now and the next podcast, and because I don't know exactly, can you do it online?
Online. I think it's wmmba.org.
All right, so I'm going to do that, and I will proudly announce it on the Instagram. And if I haven't done it by then, everyone can yell at me. So I'm making myself publicly accountable that I'll go do that, and anyone who else who does it, will say good job. Tell us and we'll say good job to you.
Good job. We'll give you kudos.
Yeah, we'll give you real life kudos instead of Strava kudos by saying
kudos. Or we could send you a kudos bar.
Hey, I'm not gonna fall through on that.
You know what I found out the other day? Do you remember Cream Savers? They were like,
oh my god, I do. Ew.
Oh, I loved them, and I had a really bad craving for them the other night, and I was like, shit, I'm gonna order some on Amazon. And like, they haven't made those sons of bitches for like 10 years.
Wow.
And I had no idea.
Yeah, didn't really miss those, did we?
I guess not.
I feel like the name alone should have set them off.
It is a little weird.
Hey, Bill, are you sure we're calling these Cream Savers?
Cream
like
Savers.
You're saving cream from something? What does that mean? Bill's like, yeah, I don't know. Fuck it. Send it out.
Keep the Cream Savers in your pocket, Bill.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. We should go. That's an endless one.
I got to go touch my son. I keep saying son.
You do. You do. Are you sipping on any beverage right now?
I finished mine. It was another White Claw.
Anything new? Okay. All right. I'm going to give a quick spiel about mine just because I mentioned them on our story and then they just reposted our shit. So I feel like I have to. Arvon Brewing, Double Blackberry Kettle.
So good.
Yeah. They make these dope ass beers and then like they don't come back. So doing this, giving you this beer review, you're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to go buy that now because like, it doesn't exist anymore because it's old. But Arvon, their sours are just, they're badass. They are great, bomb as fuck. Go check them out. As far as for like a kettle sour, this puppy gets like 9.5 out of 10.
You heard it here first.
And there it is. And
you had me also, I keep trying to end this, but last thing I want to say is how good are kettle sours compared to other sours? I feel like kettle sours are way better.
They have more just like, they make you go
tortness. Yeah, it's a little tort.
Yeah, very, very good. Okay,
Jump back to me anytime.
I haven't listened. I need to. I'm going to.
I don't care.
I care.
Okay, then go listen.
Well, looking at our numbers when it was just us made me discouraged.
Yeah, I don't know. People got other things on their mind. They don't want to listen to our podcast.
Oh, I guess they're not that bad. The one with Evan's pretty good. If the one with Evan has more than the one with just you and I do,
it should have more.
By the end of the week, it will. It doesn't.
That's right. It hasn't even been out a week. Whatever. No one cares about this. Let's go. So, guys, thank you so much. You just listened to another episode of Local Roots Podcast. Beers, bikes, boards, and other stuff, because I forgot.
More beer.
Bye.
Later. With a smile and the burn that I put on my arm the day you went away, girl, and I probably won't come back around again.